Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Incitec Pivot Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 17th of April, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Nick Stratford, GM Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Stratford.
Welcome, everyone, to today's conference call. Speaking today will be James Fazzino, Managing Director and CEO of Incitec Pivot Limited. Also present is Jamie Rintel, President of Strategy and Business Development. Jamie has been responsible for managing the investment decision and all elements of the detailed feasibility study conducted by the business. Frank Nicholef, IPL's CFO, is not present on today's call as he is offshore on a business trip. The format of the call this morning is that James will speak for 15 minutes, making reference to the presentation lodged on the ASX platform earlier today. We'll then take Q&A for 15 minutes. Over to you, James.
Well, thanks, Nick, and thanks to everyone for dialing in to today's conference call on the approval of our Louisiana ammonia plant. We've made the investment decision after a two-year feasibility study, and that reflects our approach to making considered and disciplined investment decisions that importantly meet our strict investment and financial hurdles. Before I discuss the investment details, let me talk about what we look for strategically in any major investment. Firstly, market dislocations. Our hurdle of 15% IRR is 50% above our cost of capital, and that means we need to look for projects that leverage enduring market dislocations if we're to meet those hurdles. Secondly, we look to grow close to the core. And this answers the question of what IPL brings to the opportunity. And importantly, it results in significantly lower project risk and execution risk. Third, we look to partner with complementary companies. And in doing that, we recognise that you don't need to build all of the capability to successfully execute on projects internally. Above all else, we need to be patient and wait for the right opportunity. However, at the same time, you don't get to pick your timing, so you need to be flexible. I'll come back to the strategic elements later in the presentation. Turning to slide 3 on the pack that was lodged with the ASX, on this slide we've presented the key details of our investment. Firstly, the capital cost is US$850 million, and that includes the feasibility study and contingency costs that were spent to date. And in the appendix, you'll see a breakdown of those costs and the spending over the construction period. The plant's nameplate capacity is 800,000 metric tonnes of ammonia. And you just need to be careful in comparing it to other projects announced in the US because they're short tonnes. It'll be located at a brownfield site in Louisiana, which is on the Cornerstone Chemicals Company complex. And that's a very large industrial complex that produces over 1 million tonnes of product. We've secured a lump sum turnkey engineering procurement and construction contract with KBR, and first production is expected to occur in the third quarter of 2016. 100% of the volume is committed from day one. 300,000 tonnes goes to ourselves. It goes to our North American AN plants. 200,000 tonnes is sold on-site to Cornerstone Chemicals. So that means 63% of the offtake is captive ammonia. The balance of 300,000 tonnes is sold to Transammonia. And Transammonia is one of the world's largest independent marketers and transporters of ammonia in terms of tonnage sold in international trade, and has been operating in the US since the 60s. Turning to slide 4 and strategic fit, this opportunity will, firstly, back integrate our entire US business into what is the most profitable part of the ammonium nitrate value chain. Of course, that part is ammonia through to, is gas through to ammonia production, through a plant that's at the bottom quartile on the global cost curve delivered to the US. Secondly, the plant will leverage our core manufacturing competence and build scale in that competence. It'll be our seventh ammonia plant that we operate globally, our 10th nitrogen facility that we operate globally, and the 10th major manufacturing facility that we operate in North America. Finally, the plant will balance our geographic exposure of earnings. We're investing in what is the world's largest economy and investing in what is the world's largest ammonia market, underpinned by an energy advantage that's enduring. And what you've got to recognise is 80% of the cost of producing ammonia is gas, so the energy advantage is crucial. Significantly, the investment will increase the percentage of the group's earnings generated from our North American operations, and it'll balance some of the earnings that we have across here in Australia. Moving to slide 5 and the investment thesis, this opportunity has 3 connected dimensions, with each being necessary but none being sufficient. So the important thing is you need to deliver on all of the 3 circles that we've got on this page to deliver the financial returns, and if one of them's missing, you can't deliver those returns. Firstly, in terms of the circle, is the gas market dislocation. And this is the enduring differential between US and European gas prices. And that's important because the marginal producers of ammonia who set the price sit in Europe. The US has a deep, low-cost supply curve of gas with thousands of suppliers and 25 years of gas reserves. And that's at a economic price that's broadly reflected in today's forward curve. However, depending on your view on light tight oil, where gas is a byproduct, you can actually come up with a far lower cost than today's curve. At the same time, traditional indigenous gas production in Europe is declining, particularly with the decline in the North Sea. And new production, including new production from imports, is likely to be higher on the cost curve than today's prices. So you've got the US with an enduring benefit, with the risk on the downside in terms of lower prices. And you've got Europe with high gas prices, with new production likely to be higher. So that gap over time, you can actually make a case for it actually increasing over time, not reducing. Secondly, there we have our capital advantage. And the project benefits from our first mover advantage in gaining access to brownfield site. And of course, that significantly reduces capital costs. And it might sound glib, but US isn't making new brownfield sites. Secondly, we have reduced construction risk by securing a lump sum turnkey contract with KBR. And once again, the ability to sign those type of contracts going forward, in our opinion, at a sensible cost, will diminish over time. So that's the essence of the first mover advantage. Third, we've got access to the US ammonia market. And the site provides access to what, as I've said, is the largest market in the world. But importantly, from existing infrastructure, and that includes access to the ammonia pipeline, the access to the ammonia rail system, and also access to the barge system. And what you should be aware of, which is absolutely vital, is ammonia is a gas, and that requires dedicated infrastructure. So we're not talking about a solid product here. Ammonia is a gas, and it requires dedicated infrastructure. So very difficult to replicate that. All 3 of those drive compelling financial returns for IPR. Turning to slide 6, the slide illustrates the benefits from the existing structure on the cornerstone chemical site. Firstly, the ammonia pipeline, which will enable us to supply our facility in Louisiana, Missouri. Secondly, it allows us to access barges on the Mississippi, and that's the way we'll supply our Denora plant. And finally, the rail access will be used to supply ammonia to our Cheyenne plant in Wyoming. Turning to the project risks on slide 7, during the feasibility study, we spent considerable time debating the key project risks, and I'll discuss those in detail, and importantly actually we brought in an external consultancy over a three-month period to ensure that we pushed around those risks and understood what the risks and the appropriate mitigating actions. Now, firstly, the first risk we recognised was the ammonia market getting overbuilt. The global ammonia capacity today is around about 180 million tonnes. Global ammonia demand grows at around about 2% annually. And that actually means that you need to build three new world-scale ammonia plants every year just to stand still. Secondly, the US imports approximately 6 million tonnes of ammonia per annum. And that actually means in the US, you need to have six world-scale free ammonia plants built before the market moves from a net importer to a balanced position. In our view, both of these scenarios seem unlikely, particularly in the payback period of this plant, which is less than 5 years. Secondly, we have minimised market risk by selling the plant out from day one. As I said earlier, 63% of the offtake goes to existing in-house offtakers, and that's ourselves and Cornerstone Chemicals. The balance goes to Transammonia under a long-term offtake agreement, and Transammonia are using existing logistics to sell to existing customers from the plant. Third, construction risk. And here we've employed a contracting strategy that we believe significantly reduces construction risk. Firstly, we've adopted a reference plant, or what we term internally cookie cutter approach to design, meaning that there is no technology or scale-up risk associated with this plant. In fact, you can go around the world and you can see multiple examples of where sister plants have been built, and those plants are operating today. KBR is both the technology provider and the EPC contractor, and that means we've eliminated any interface risk between the technology and the construction on the ground. The plant's being constructed in the heart of the US chemical industry, and that provides us access to a pool of skilled labour. Now, as is typical with any lump sum turnkey, we've had to assume certain levels of residual risk to ensure we get a competitive price. And we've dealt with that by ensuring appropriate contingencies have been built into the capital estimate. And we've based those on the Moranbah experience, and I'm sure you'll all agree that reflects the world's most challenging construction environment. And that's the way we've covered those residual risks. Fourth, commissioning risk. We've minimised commissioning risk via a turnkey arrangement. So we've partnered with KBR, who brings to the project the world's best ammonia technology. And the purifier technology not only reduces gas usage per tonne, it actually means that we've ended up with a far more forgiving plant in terms of operation. So we've got a highly efficient plant that's easy to operate. Importantly, KBR's responsible for commissioning the plant and needs to pass, and before it gets passed over to us, the plant needs to have passed performance tests in the contract, which essentially means that the plant needs to demonstrate nameplate production and the gas efficiency that we've got in our model before it gets passed across. Finally, funding. The project will be fully funded off IPL's balance sheet from long-term debt and internally generated cash flow. Importantly, throughout the construction period, we'll maintain appropriate credit metrics and debt tenor, and there'll be no change to our dividend payout through that period. Turning to slide 8, many people have asked me to provide a little bit more detail on our thinking around that risk of the market getting overbuilt. And on this slide, we've tried to summarise some of our thinking around a number of key dimensions to answer that question. Firstly, it's important to recognise that there's a distinction between free ammonia projects which is our project, and projects that produce ammonia as an intermediate for solid fertiliser or liquid fertiliser production. So the majority of the projects that you see announced in the US are for solid fertiliser and liquid production. Free ammonia projects are a subset. Secondly, there's a distinction between building on a brownfield site and building on a greenfield site. And as I've said, on a brownfield site, you end up with a considerably lower capital cost because you're able to leverage existing infrastructure. But importantly, on a brownfield site, you're able to leverage the logistics infrastructure. And as I said earlier, this is a gas we're dealing with, needing dedicated infrastructure. Third, there's a distinction between existing producers and new entrants to the ammonia manufacturing market. We have an existing ammonia manufacturing presence in the US, and that gives us operational experience that we can draw upon, and importantly, it also provides us with a ready market for us to place volume. These plants are extremely complex to operate, and you do need that manufacturing experience to be able to successfully commission them. The table on the slide shows the North American nitrogen projects that have currently been announced, and they're in various stages of feasibility. And on the slide, we've divided those between projects that have been progressed on a brownfield basis or a greenfield basis, and projects that are being progressed from existing producers and those who are new entrants. And clearly, the table shows that if you're an existing producer producing on a brownfield site, you simply are able to tick a hell of a lot more boxes, which means you can successfully execute. And of course, when you're getting to the right-hand side of the slide, where you're a new entrant on a greenfield site, the degree of difficulty edges up considerably. Of the North America free ammonia projects that have been announced or in the stages of feasibility, there's around about 1.9 million tonnes that will come online by around about 2018 in the first column, existing producers on a brownfield site. The majority of the other projects that are being proposed are actually on the right-hand side of the page, and they're new entrants on greenfield sites. What I'd note is if all of the projects go ahead, which we think are unlikely, the market is still a net importer of ammonia. Turning to slide 9, and in some respects the most important slide in the deck, the returns from this project are compelling. And since I've been CEO, we've looked at many opportunities. However, we look at far more opportunities than we execute on, and I have to say that this is one of the most compelling projects I've ever seen in my career. And it's this rigorous approach to feasibility that gives me confidence in this investment and the medium to long-term growth that will provide for the IPL Group. The financial returns for the project meet our strict investment hurdles of 15% IRR and a RONA north of 18%. And whilst 15% is our investment hurdle rate, in reality, on a project like this, there are a number of possible outcomes. So what we've done is actually use the Monte Carlo simulation to predict the shape of those possible outcomes. And what I can tell you about that modelling is the bell curve has a considerable slant right. In other words, the modelling we've said is that the likely probability is returns above 15% from the project. And of course, you'll need to form your own view on what you end up with. So really the risk's on the upside here in terms of the way we think about the project. The project will be funded entirely by debt and business cash flow, and that actually means all the earnings from the plant go straight to EPS. However, if you want to think about it on another dimension, particularly given today's volatility. The question I ask myself is, how long do we need to be right for? And the answer is, with a project that pays back in less than 5 years, it means that on a 30-year project, we only need to be right for 5 years, and thereafter, every dollar from the project goes straight into shareholders' pockets. So including the presentation on slide 10, my summary is the project clearly meets our investment criteria. It has a strong strategic fit to our business. I'd characterise it as low-risk core growth, and it provides us a unique opportunity to benefit from a brownfield site and all that has to offer, which actually makes the plant operational in the bottom quartile of the cost curve. Thank you for taking the time to listen to what I believe is a unique and positive opportunity to IPL. At this point, I'd also like to take the time to thank the IPL strategy and feasibility team for getting to this point on the project, and that team's been led by Jamie Rintel on a commercial side and Alan Grace, who you'll be familiar with regard to Moranbah, who's done the technical side. In terms of next steps, we're wasting no time, and we'd expect to start activity on the site within the next 6 weeks.
Okay, thanks, James.